You're listening to Movie Sucktastic.
Sounds like some bad movie.
All right, we're back, baby.
Back.
Shooter.
What? Back in the saddle again.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to Movie Sucktastic.
Yeah, that's us.
That's Joey. I'm Scott. And our New Year resolution is to review Ultraviolet from 2006.
Yeah, we're just kind of waiting around for the good movies. The Oscar nominations should be out in 2 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, we'll do a few of those.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. We're going to do 10 of those to be more accurate.
But until then, we got Mia Jovovich in. So how would you describe Ultraviolet, my friend?
Garbage. Which,
all right.
So
dial it back.
I had never seen it before. I've seen bits and pieces. I've seen enough here and there to know that it was absolute hot garbage before going in and actually watching it.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't know was that it was written and directed by Kurt Wimmer.
Right.
Who did Equilibrium previously to this movie, which was excellent. And Gunkata, which is fictional, he made it up. What it was in Equilibrium. It's in this too. But
yeah.
I don't know what happened. Like, did he... I got to stay so true to the comic that I'm going to do all this extra ridiculous shit.
There's no comic.
Isn't this based on a comic book?
No.
The credits are in Comic Sans.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I thought this was based on a comic book.
No, it's not. And I take it as a personal insult that the film tries to pass off what is basically a shoddy sci-fi action film. If it looks a little weird, it's a comic book.
Oh, okay. I know nothing. I saw that it opened up with a comic book. You know, it said like a dollar, whatever, January of whatever. January. and then the end credits start to roll and it's Comic Sans. Nobody uses Comic Sans.
It's not Comic Sans, is it? It's a comic book font, but it's not Comic Sans.
It looks like Comic Sans. But yes, it's a comic book font. Well, we'll just say it's a comic book font, which that right there, if you start at the end, you're like, yeah, I'm not watching this.
They leaned very heavily on that in the beginning and end. And I personally felt it was a way to kind of like distract from the shortcomings of the film, which is everything.
Everything.
Now, from what I read, Kurt Wimmer had the film taken away from him because the studio heads thought it was too boring and dramatic, and so supposedly they chopped a half an hour of footage out.
Yeah, this film was supposed to be over 2 hours,
right?
And it was an 88-minute PG-13 release. Then in Japan, it was an unrated 94-minute release. The two-hour cut has never been seen.
Right.
So, not like it's going to make it any better.
Which version did you watch?
The 88-minute version.
Really? Oh, I watched the extended version.
I mean, it's 6 minutes longer.
Yeah. I think it's mainly some of the action sequences and some of the voiceover stuff.
So much voiceover. What was up with that? Because, well, hold on. So I'm watching the movie, beginning of the movie, and I'm like, oh, is this one of those French or German directors that they decided to give a big budget film? And then I looked it up. One, I was shocked. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's Kurt Wimmer. And two, it's like, what's with the goddamn voiceover? Mm-hmm. Was this so that it could be dubbed in like whatever, 20 different languages?
It's probably so when they took his 2 hour cut and tore it apart and put it back together, they had the spackle, so to speak, continuity into places. Exposition. It's basically 5 minutes of exposition explaining the world and her and everything.
Okay.
Which was probably told in an actual flashbacks or story in the original version. And you can feel the wind coming through the gaps in the film where you can tell they cut stuff out and just like pasted it together.
Oh yeah. No,
there's an audible breeze throughout this film.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. And now notoriously, when the studio took it from them, they even took special effects that weren't finished yet and just put and used them. So the whole motorcycle sequence is the notorious one that really kind of underlines that problem.
Yeah, the one shot where she goes up to the top of the roof and then just lands on the roof. I mean, it looked so bad.
Mm-hmm. And when she's in the helicopter.
Yeah, like it goes up like this. Here, this is my hand. It goes up like this. Like, that's literally, for anyone that's watching, it goes up and then does that. Like, there's smooth motion to it or anything when the motorcycle ends up on the roof. It's really bad.
Well, she's got the gravity belt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's why she can, you know, ride her motorcycle down the side of a vertical building.
It's like, yeah, okay, Ghost Rider.
Exactly. Your head's not on fire yet.
Yeah, and beyond the special effects, too, I mean, there's a lot of there are Sky Captains and the World of Tomorrow levels of background CGI in this film.
Oof. Is that is that on our list? It should be if it isn't.
Oh, no, it definitely should be. Is it on the wheel, right?
I mean?
I don't think so. I'll have to add it.
We got to add call. That. Yeah. It's another movie I've seen bits and pieces, but have never actually watched.
Like the opening sequence, it's almost all the backgrounds are all CGI, and like when they do the pan around, you can like see the camera jiggle a bit, and
it was all the rage.
Yeah, I mean, this is after The Matrix. This is after
Doesn't Make Equilibrium. It Right.
you can tell he was desperately trying to like oh, now I got a budget, you know, now I can do what I did in Equilibrium, but I can do it bigger. But there's no like there's. He definitely went from what he wanted to do visually and then tried to write a story around it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's.
And
garbage.
Let me state, and I think we can agree fully, sci-fi vampires suck.
Yes. Very much so. I don't even remember that being a plot point. I'm like, what's with the teeth?
Yeah. It's so they just throw it at the beginning. Oh, and then they called us vampires. It's like, yeah. So, it's a weird one where
hemophage.
Hemophage. Let me hear you say hemophage. Yeah, it's worse than Daybreakers.
Daybreakers.
Yeah, it's worse than that nonsense. At least that made more sense where it was a vampire world and like, okay.
Everything was just better done in that.
Oh, no, I hate that film, and it's a better movie than this.
It's the Spirit Brothers. You like their other film, Undead, which I should revisit that.
I think you should.
When the hillbilly guy's hanging upside down shooting zombies, and I'm like, why? I know you did it because you think it looks cool, but nobody's going to do this.
But that was the reason for it.
Eh. It was more than that, I remember, at the time.
just like when Mia Jovovich pulls like swords and guns out of her space holes.
Space holes, yeah.
Yeah.
There was that one scene you did a screen cap of, and where it was that long piece of metal, and she's like going up and down with it with her hand. Do you remember that scene? You have a screen cap of it.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking naughty things. Mila Jovovich is like rubbing this thing up and down like 2-3 times. And I'm like,
rub it up and down 2 or 3 times. She stabbed the guy with it.
Yeah, but then she kind of like held on to it and did one of these. I mean, like.
All right. I think we're reading.
I don't know, man. I got that vibe. I'm like, why is she even doing that at all?
I think you need to talk to your psychiatrist and or priest.
Nah, I'm good. The voices told me not to do that.
And that's the problem. You can tell the number one reason for this film was hot chick and violence.
Yes.
Which, I mean, is never really a good idea unless you really have a good, you know, something solid behind it. There was nothing behind this. I mean, yeah, so the vampire thing. So humans have almost wiped out vampires completely. Okay. So the vampires are the underdog on this one. But the evil corporation is the one manipulating all of this. So she's a top secret vampire agent who's sent to kidnap the secret weapon, which turns out to be a child.
Don't look in the briefcase.
Don't look in the case.
Don't do it. You'll compromise everything.
So then it's like, oh, the child, they can use this child to destroy us. And they're like, let's kill it. She's like, but you can't. It's a child. So she goes from like motherly to distant horribly. It's almost got that kind of Gloria feel to it. The, oh, I don't want to be saddled with this kid kind of thing. But she can't play it right.
No. There was scenes when she's on, were they on a train? Was that a train? Where she's like, you sit down and don't make me have to tell you again.
It's like a subway.
Subway, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh. I'm like, okay, mom. Shit.
Yeah, it's always weird to me when they go, you know, when they go to the trouble of like casting a woman in a role, but then they write it like a guy.
Right.
It's like, you know, you had an opportunity here to do something good.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. This film... It's bad on so many levels. It's hard, not hard to explain. It's exhausting because you literally would talk about every single fucking thing, you know.
Well, the film, I mean, there's it. The opening sequence is the action sequence. Then you have the 5-minute voiceover exposition. But then after that, it hits the ground running with the futuristic DoorDash. Right. What's the purpose of the clothing and hair changing color randomly?
I don't know.
It looks good.
Again, I thought it was a comic because the comic book pane had her with different color hair. So I was like, okay, it must happen in the comic. I was a little forgiving of a couple of things because I thought it was a comic book. And now that I know that it's not, it's like, no, I forgive nothing. Fuck this movie. Fuck it.
Also, did you also notice how much the film is ADR?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, huge chunks of this film were voice audio recorded afterwards.
Yeah, and I know it's cheaper to do that. That's the whole reason why a lot of studios did. Spaghetti Westerns were made famous by doing that. You know, Hong Kong films were made famous doing that. But this is a $30 million movie. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Like, Mila Jovovich is even dubbed in some spots.
Yeah.
The one guy, the scientist that she's friends with.
Darth,
that actor. You know, he was in...
William Fichtner.
Yeah, he was in Armageddon. He was in Go. He's great. I love him. He was in Albino Alligator.
He's the only reason this film doesn't get 1 star. It's because he's in it.
Yeah. Any parts that he's in, he's just very good in them. But... none of his stuff was dubbed. You knew it was his real voice. It didn't look dubbed. It didn't sound dubbed. You know, I just don't understand why, like, so much of it was done that way, other than for a budget reason.
or production issues,
like maybe? The whole opening of the film where she goes in to get the package, which they, I guess, what did they injected her with a serum that hid her identity and
made it, who the fuck,
and made it look like she was the actual person that's supposed to be picking up the package. All of that.
And does that have anything to do with the random, oh, I'm going to die in 96 hours?
Right. I know, right? It just...
Because they just kind of drop that and then leave it like that's not... Like, that shouldn't be motivation.
The kid was going to die in 8.
Yeah.
I said that right away. This kid's toast.
Right. And then... But
I'm well aware.
It's not like they're little problems. They're glaring holes. They're glaring, like, just like the visuals. It's not like little flaws in the special effects. There's gaping holes in the special effects. There are problems with that motorcycle sequence. That should not have, never should have made it to the big screen.
No, that's horrible. That is on the level of work print bad, you know,
yeah.
or possibly now, worse.
Now, I like his choreography with his... I like how he films fight sequences. I really do. Well, I
mean, you know what? That's why I was so surprised, because the fight sequences in Equilibrium were excellent.
Yeah. And they weren't. Some of them weren't bad in this.
No, I know. And I'm assuming...
But they got too silly.
I didn't look, but I'm assuming he had the same stunt team and action team that he had for Equilibrium, but...
It really seemed that way.
But
it's a
different type of film. It's largely CGI, and it's hard to envision that when you're not a director that does things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's only directed 4 things. He's written a bunch of screenplays that were actually good movies. You know, like Thomas Crown Affair and... You know, like things like that. Mm-hmm. But those are competent films. He's a screenwriter that was able
Don't forget Law Abiding Citizen.
Oh, wait, he wrote that? Hold on, I didn't
see.
Fuck him. Studio must have took that ending away from him. There's no way he wrote that ending. Stop it. Studio's like, listen, we can't have the bad guy win. It's like, wait a minute, what? I'm not supposed to be rooting for this guy the whole movie? Stop it. Fuck you. Show that movie now. That movie now probably would get even more backlash for how that movie ends. Seriously, how fucked up everything is right now? Yeah.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
You shouldn't have. I will be the first to tell you that that was a mistake.
So one of the notes I have about the film during the fight sequences, the opening one, like the first half hour, it looks good when they're fighting, but do you really think glass is the best idea for exo armor?
Right. I mean, it looks cool. It looks cool when you hit it and smash it, but it's like, I thought this shit was supposed to protect your body.
Yeah. Body armor shouldn't, you know, explode in beautiful shards every time someone kicks it.
And I guess their argument would be, well, the weapon used can destroy it. You know? It's like, the weapon can do that when it hits the armor. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an excuse for everything, but still.
Yeah, this film is, it's sci-fi bordering on sci-fantasy. Because, like, there's really, like, they don't even try to explain how things are possible. There's, like, they have that real quick part at the beginning with the swords. Like, oh, it's a pocket universe thing. So that's very, very, very rare.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why she's got 10 of them on her, all over her, you know. And they can assemble guns through them. It just, that one scene that really wanted to try to be the Matrix when she walks in at to the main building at the end.
Right.
Oh, and then they scan her for guns. It's like, total guns. Many.
Oh, my God. It was like, and it's dialogue that like that, too. It's like, did Wimmer write this? It's like in the beginning when she's doing all the tests, like my favorite one is when she's got all the syringes in her body and she has that really surprised look on her face.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, what would happen if I didn't pass any of these tests? Nothing good. It's like, but it wasn't even delivered in like a funny way, you know?
No.
It was just like, nothing good. It's like,
no, it, What the fuck? The dialogue and sequences like that is stilted enough, but the ADR makes it worse.
Yeah.
It's almost like they couldn't get real voice actors.
Or how about when the real person shows up to pick up the package and they're like ready to kill her? She's like, "Oh, you have a mite." Like, she sounded very French. "You have a mite in the building. Check it, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, Greg, give everything a funny word. We'll never go back and talk about it again. So you could have just said mole. Let's change everything and make it sci-fi. Let's give her the name Violet Song Jat Sharif.
Excuse me.
The only other person that has like more than one name is Ferdinand Daxis.
Oh yeah, that actor.
The bad guy with the nose plugs. Now, speaking of which, I do find it watching this film 20 years later, I think having lived through COVID, the whole infection aspect of the opening of the sci-fi thing was interesting. Or to me, it was like, oh, well, this is kind of relevant. Like, suddenly it's a world that everybody's concerned about the virus now, and everybody's got nose plugs. Everything's like certified.
Well, what's funny is like even when she tells him at one point that, and it was really just to hide his identity, that he should put his mask back on, and I'm like, oh yeah, wow. It just you just don't see that in a lot of movies, but it became such commonplace during the COVID pandemic, where like, for instance, when I would see other countries where they would use masks because they'd have an outbreak, that was not something that was ever happening here. So it always looked
first.
Yeah, it always looked not weird, but it always like, oh, wow. You know, it's like it must be bad because they're doing that. And it's just like nothing like that ever happened here. And then when the COVID pandemic broke out and everyone was, it just became commonplace. And so when I look back at films that actually have things like masks and things like that, because, you know, to protect themselves, it doesn't look off-kiltered or out of place anymore, because it's now something that we've gone through.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It sounded very familiar. It's almost prescient in some ways. Of course, we didn't have to deal with vampires.
No, not vampires. Not yet, anyway.
No, well, yeah, not yet.
I mean, they're not even like the good vampires. They don't live forever.
But
he probably did that on purpose, because, you know, every movie it's like, oh, vampire live forever, and everyone's just like, you know, that's such a bad thing. You know what, I'm gonna make being a vampire a bad thing. Like, you have a short lifespan, so it's like you want to not be a vampire. So it's like, is that the direction you wanted to take? Clearly that's what it was.
So in the third act, they throw out, so like, oh, good thing you're not light sensitive vampire.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, well, wait a minute. These people have been running around in daylight all through the goddamn film. She had, like, those other vampires she was dealing with. They're out in the graveyard kicking around and stuff. So that's daylight. What is this? What is she? Oh, she's the daywalker now. Blade got to run at this. Yeah. And even worse than that was the whole thing. So I actually, there are two things I liked. There were two things that I actually smiled at. Yeah, there were two things that I smiled at and said I like that. One was, all right, so they set up Ferdinand Daxis as like this germ paranoid corporate guy.
Right.
Fair enough. I like it. It's okay. Been done before with less severe circumstances. I'll deal with it. But when you get to the point where he confronts the vampire crew, and he pulls out of his jacket a hermetically sealed bag and tears it open and pulls his gun out of it.
Right.
I was like, that's funny.
You like that?
I'll gotta give you that. Yeah. And then right after that, when he shoots the three goons and they do the see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did. I saw that.
Yeah. It's such a quick gag, though. It was like, I'm pretty sure most people didn't even catch it. It would work in a comic book.
That's, again, I'm like, I thought it was a goddamn comic. Oh, well, how about, like, you know, throughout the film, she keeps telling him there's got to be a cure. There's no reason why you would do this to the kid. There is no cure. I'm telling you. There's got to be. Listen, there isn't a cure, all right? It's like the kid is, that's not the reason we need him. And then at the end, she goes again. She goes, there has to be a cure. There isn't a cure. She's like, there would be, there's no reason why you would. She goes, okay, there's a cure. It's like, it was so nonchalant. It was like the whole film was him denying a cure. And then at the end, she's like, come on, man, there has to be. He's like, okay, there's a cure. It's like, what?
Even so, when she picks up the package, the whole idea is, okay, this is going to be used against the vampires. So we have, you know, we're going to get it before they can use it against us. So she gets it, finds out it's a boy, says, oh, I know, I can't kill a child just because it can be, you know, maybe it can be used to help us, whatever. So we spend one third of the movie believing that he has antigens that would kill vampires.
Right.
Then we spend a third of the movie believing that he has antigens that would kill humans.
Right.
then I've got lost in the third act of what we believe was going on with them. I mean, the biggest jump was the one where she's like, oh, they can track you, so we have to go on head on, we have to go after him, and so they do the whole thing with the
what? Well, I love that they're hiding out in the laboratory, and he's like, yeah, they can track him, but it's not here. Then she's like, well, we got to leave. It's like, wait, yeah. What? You got to, what are you doing?
No, they also do the hologram. Track him
here. We got to get out of here.
To do the hologram trick from.
Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Yeah.
And I was
they did it at the beginning. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to not come up again.
Yeah. But then after that, so there's that sequence where you know, all the guards in front of the buildings, and what are you, mental? And then they have the back and forth, and then, oh, it's a hologram. And she's watching from above with him as they see, we can't get in there. All of a sudden, they're on a rooftop somewhere playing in a park.
Yeah, that was so weird.
With a helicopter showing up.
It had to be one of the cuts that they made.
Oh, definitely.
Because it's like she's on the playground and it was that weird camera angle looking down at her on the merry-go-round. And it's just like, it was just a weird, the way she was holding it, she was kind of holding it like this and just had this almost, not surprise, but just kind of like, get me off of this thing, look on her face. I don't know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, because. It doesn't make sense.
No.
Because then he kills her, but then Garth brings her back to life somehow, and she's pissed at him, of course. And then she goes, she decided that she can't attack them head on. So they do the whole. Hologram thing, then she kind of gives up and is killed. Then when she is brought back to life, she does the thing she said she couldn't do in the first place.
No, I know. It's.
I'm just gonna go in.
Yeah.
And we're gonna save the kid. And at this point, we don't even know what world we're saving. Are we saving the humans? Are we saving the vampires? Is the kid's gonna die in 8 hours? She's gonna die in 9 hours. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
The biggest punch in the face was the whole thing with the corporate guy with the germophobia.
Right.
Then in the big finale, when they finally meet, she splashes blood on his face and he freaks out.
Yeah, you said you got hemophage on me.
Yeah, so he freaks out because now he's been infected. But then, he closes the dome so she can't see. He's like, ha, ha, ha. Did you know I'm a vampire too? Ha. Ha.
But he can see in the dark.
Yeah.
Because he's like, can you do that? And then she lights her sword on fire. Explain and then to he me lights his sword on fire. And then they have a fire sword fight.
Well, the way she gets her sword to light on fire is such a convoluted again, it would work in a comic book.
Right.
But in the film, it's just like, you don't even know what's going on. And you're like, oh, I guess, all right, yeah, it was the, that was, because I don't think you ever saw him use that flamer gun before that, did you?
No.
No. So you didn't even know what it was when she malfunctioned it.
Yeah.
You didn't even, so that's why you're like, what was the hiss? What was that? I was confused at first. And then, you know, and then eventually it's like, when he used the gun again, and then it's like, okay, so that's what it was. But don't during an action sequence, you're going to make everybody think that much.
Right.
Just be a bit more, I mean, honestly, if at this point in the film, if the swords had just burst in the flames on their own, I wouldn't have questioned it. It's like, oh, they obviously have flaming swords on this. There's issue.
Yeah,
if she had pushed a button and flames started to come out of the sword, I'd be like, all right, fine.
Yeah, vampires, you know, it just definitely.
Yeah, she could pull. I'm sure she could have pulled fire out of her pocket universe ports, whatever the hell, stupid nonsense. No, not a good film. Not even enjoyably. Some of the fight sequences are good because he probably brought his choreographers over from Equilibrium. It's so sad watching this, having seen Equilibrium, knowing what the guy's capable of.
Like, I know.
He can pull off. I mean, the film's not perfect, but shit, it was good.
I mean, it's currently a 7.3 on IMDb, which is quite high for a film like that, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now, on the other hand,
I'm actually surprised it's as high as it is. It's a 4.4.
Me too. I was like,
this is like X vs. Sever bad, you know, where it was like a 2 or a 1 point something or a 2 point something.
That's funny,
0% on Rotten Tomatoes for critics.
It's hilarious you said that, because I thought the same thing too.
Yeah.
The other X vs. Sever popped up in my head while I was watching this. Yeah, this is that bad. The only other film that popped up in my head was Barbed Wire. Yeah. With Pamela Anderson.
What's the other one? The one with Mia Sorvino and Chow Yun-Fat.
Replacement Killers?
Replacement Killers. That one's pretty bad. It's not bad on this level, but that's not a good film either.
Replacement Killers is just flawed.
How did you know I could drive? I don't know. You're an adult? I don't know. It's the first thing that was going through my head. I don't know. It's not good dialogue in that one either. I should revisit that one too.
So what do you think for Ultraviolet, a 3?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's no way this deserves... A 4.4 is too close to a 5, in my opinion.
100% agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, we'll be the first to say that Kurt Wimmer apparently had the studio destroy what was supposed to be, so we can't tell. Honestly, I don't think that the studio ruined the film. I think the studio just made it worse.
Yeah,
I think this was a bad film no matter what, but the studio just made it worse by completely kiboshing what it was trying to be.
Right. I agree. Yeah, 100%.
Wrong mouse.
3. Perfect.
Yep. I like that.
All right. Is it time to spin the wheel?
Sign in? Since when do I have to sign in?
Why you have to sign in?
I shouldn't have to sign in. Oh, you're killing me. Oh, you don't have to. Oh, don't wait for me. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm just stupid. I'm trying to rate the film, and it's telling me, like, oh, you're not signed in. It's like, yeah, I am. It has nothing to do with us or the show. So you should just go on, and we should spin a wheel.
Let's go do that. Spin a wheel. Oh, wait. I got to get it on the right page.
Get on the same. Get on the right page or the right hemophage.
Hemophage. All right. Here we go. Spin the wheel. Let's spin the wheel. All right. So we're reviewing Ultraviolet this week. We're going to review another film next week, because then after that, it's the following Thursday is Oscar nominations come out that morning. So we will talk about the Oscar nominations and possibly review one of the films. We're thinking about it. So this week is Ultraviolet. Next week is another film off the wheel. Then after that, it's Oscar movies for 2.5 months. All right. So let's go ahead and spin the wheel here. Let's see what we got.
1.5 months.
10 weeks. Oh, no. We do 2 a week. You're right. I forgot we did 2 a week. Silly me. No!
What? What we got?
It's the Twilight franchise.
you're gonna veto that, aren't you?
I am. As everyone knows, I get a veto, and so does Scott. We actually made a new rule for this. So we both get a veto. We both can use a veto. On the third one, we either have to review that film or we can look at the first two vetoes and pick one. But we don't get to spin again.
Yep, that works for me.
So I'm going to close that. I'm going to spin this motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Kind of thinking this week. Wow, we got franchises galore. Texas Chainsaw franchise.
We've reviewed the original Texas Chainsaw, so I think that would leave us reviewing Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
We did the original one from 72?
I'm pretty sure we did.
I don't think we reviewed that.
I think it was part of like a Halloween thing.
So we kind of, okay.
I let me check. I hold on. While we're talking, I'll actually check on our. Hang on a sec. I think we have it on YouTube actually.
Okay.
Do-do-do.
I didn't think we
Texas
did.
Texas Chainsaw. Yep, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, episode number 305. The first one we reviewed it.
I don't remember that.
Well, it's been a while. It's
been a while.
That was when we were doing the by the year starting with my birthday, 73, because it was 1974. That's when we did it.
Oh, it came out in 74? Okay.
Yeah, so we did it when we did that group of stuff 72? In the 70s.
Okay. Do you want a veto, or are we good with that?
I think that's a nice light selection leading into
So we're going to do the Dennis Oscars. Hopper the film.
Yeah, we'll do that. So we can talk a bit. I mean, then again, I mean, everybody's done it though. You know, I'm gonna veto this one just
veto?
Because that. Yeah, I don't know if I have anything new to say to that one, and it's kind of fun, but okay. I don't know. I'm gonna veto that one. We can always go back to it if the next one's horrible.
Let's go ahead and spin it again then. See what we got here.
Oh, this no music, Emmys, no
this
Emmys.
Music's terrible.
No Emmys.
Wait, Polkaville. Give me a beer. Oktoberfest. Oh, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
It just got ultraviolet again.
Oh, we haven't taken it off yet.
I haven't removed it.
Okay.
All right. All right. We're going to spin again.
What are the odds of that?
All right. It's happened before. Come on, no whammies. What is with all the franchises?
Uh-oh.
Pet Sematary franchise.
Huh.
We haven't done any of those yet, right?
No, we haven't.
Okay. If I had a veto, I would veto this just because I just don't feel like watching Pet Sematary.
Me neither. You know, this the wheel's coming up with duds right now. Tell you what, one more. One more spin.
Well, that's not the rule.
I know it's not the rule, but I'm saying it's a new year. Just one more spin.
All right, one more spin.
Just see what comes up.
One more. Okay.
Call it a mulligan.
All right, here we go. He's kind of landing in the same area. I like that. Ooh. We haven't done this one. Society.
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah,
there's...
I actually rewatched this recently. Brian Usna, This film was made, was it not released for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't released for a while. It's a fucking weird movie.
I agree. No, that's one to sink teeth into.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Get ready for the shunt.
Oh, my God. The Society. If no one has ever seen Society, just the box, the cover, which is the girl pulling her face off. It's like a mask, and she's like pulling her face off. It's like almost like it's melting off. That scene, that doesn't happen in the movie, if I'm not mistaken. It's just
no, it doesn't.
No.
Yeah. It doesn't. No.
Yeah, but it's a cool cover. I mean,
no, it is.
Well, let me put it this way. Weirder shit than that happens in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the end of the movie.
And it's going to be interesting trying to figure out what I want to use as a cover for YouTube for that one.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I almost feel like did we review it? We never reviewed it, right? No.
No, we've talked about it when we were talking about other stuff, but we never actually reviewed it.
Okay. Maybe it was because I was picking the poster for my Plex server and the background. Like the one really notable shot is the guy with like the cigar, and it's a whole red kind of scene, just sticks out. And I could have sworn I used it for a wallpaper for the website or a thumbnail for the episode, but no, it has to be for Plex because we definitely haven't reviewed this thing. So.
No.
All right. My nephew texted me. He's like, hey, you don't have this on your Plex server. And I'm like, wait, what? I was like, give me 5 minutes. I will remedy that. Because he likes 80s horror films. So.
Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Philistines, that's who.
Yeah, baby. All right. All right, all right. Let's go ahead and end this bad boy.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome back. Happy New Year.
That's right. Happy New Year, everyone. I've noticed that long-form content is becoming very popular. And I think, honestly, I think it has a lot to do with, as a newly coined phrase, AI slop has become more popular. Because you can see it from a mile away. I see a lot of people sharing it. A lot of people thinking it's real. And people are starting to go back to watch like long form content that has real substance and doesn't have to be 2 minutes long because attention spans have gotten lower and lower. It's nice to see and hear that it's possibly going in the other direction.
Definitely.
So, yeah. So, you know, I like that our episodes can stay under the 1 hour mark. I don't know if we achieved that tonight, but.
Yeah, we did.
Did we? Let me take a look. Sure. Yeah, we did. 45 minute mark area. Anyway. As always, thank you for joining us yet again for another episode of Movie Sucktastic, episode 459, where we just reviewed Ultraviolet, 2006 Kurt Wimmer film. You can go to our website at moviesucktastic.com and you can download and or listen to the show. And you can also click on the YouTube link and it'll take you right to YouTube where you can rewatch this episode that we just recorded. You can also go to iTunes and you can listen to the show there. You can go to facebook.com/moviesucktastic and you can see everything that we're posting. It goes there. You can check out Scott's Letterboxd website at letterboxd.com/moviesucktastic. You can also email us. The address is themovieguys@moviesucktastic.com. If you want to call us, it's 908-514-4470. If you also want to download the podcast app that we have, it's moviesucktastic.com/mst.apk, or what I recommend, because our app needs to be updated. It still works, but it needs an update. Just download your favorite podcast player and do a search for Movie Sucktastic. We are literally everywhere. We are on Spotify. We're on Amazon Music. We are on Pandora, Stitcher, Sirius. It's all there now. We're just everywhere. Just do a search and you'll find us. Yep. Do you have any words of wisdom, Mr. Wilson?
Let me hear you say it. Himify.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when we review Society.
It's all about fitting in.
Oh, yeah. Love that.